Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Celebration Church. Let's all stand together as we join our voices in reciting the Apostles' Creed. This is our statement of faith. This is who we are and what we believe. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as we go to God in prayer. Gracious and joyful God, on this third Sunday of Advent, we come before you with hearts lifted in joyful expectation. As we light the candle of joy, remind us that true joy is not found in our circumstances, but in your presence with us. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, whose coming gives good news of great joy for all people. Let that joy take root in us today, joy that steadies us in trouble, joy that strengthens us in weakness, joy that shines into every corner of our lives. Father, where there's some of us carry burdens, replace heaviness with the joy of your salvation, where worry has crept in, restore the gladness that comes from trusting in you, where hearts feel tired or discouraged, breathe anew the joy of hope, and the promise that you are making all things new. Teach us, Lord, to rejoice always, not in what we have, but in who you are. Make us a joyful people whose lives bear witness to the light of Christ in a world longing for hope. We pray for our church family. Bring joy to the hurting, companionship to the lonely, comfort to those grieving, and renewed strength to all who are waiting on answered prayer. Let your joy be our strength. And as we continue our Advent journey, prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ. Fill us with a joy that overflows in generosity, kindness, and love toward one another. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Good to have you with us on this chilly morning. Did you all notice Pastor Becky's sparkly shoes this morning? Starting to rub off on these people. If Ben comes in with sparkly shoes, you'll know we really got somewhere. Today on this Advent, Sunday, third Sunday Advent of joy, we're going to be reading from Luke, the first chapter. This is the writings of what happens in the beginning of the Christmas story and how Gabriel appears to Mary. And then she has this expression of joy. It's called the Magnificat for these who are into theological phrases. If you look in your Bible, a lot of it is put in dark letters, Mary's song. It's called her song. Although it's not sung, Luke is very clear to say that she said it. Say, why is it called a song? Actually, in the ancient Jewish and biblical world, song was just defined by form and function. Actually, the truth is, even in the English language, there's expressions that are, it's like poems, but they're called songs. We just don't refer to it very often in English here. But certainly in that day, this is what it is. It's got form, it's function. A lot of the songs that you read about in the Old Testament aren't to melody or rhythm. They're spoken and expressed as a song. And then later, some of them were actually turned into songs. Anyway, let's look at Mary's song here. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble estate of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty.
He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. And then we read in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul writing to the Philippian church, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. This is a problem today. People, so many people are just filled and grieved with anxiety. How do you fix it? He says, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Then what happens? And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ. So on this third Sunday of Advent, it's traditionally referred to as the Sunday of Joy. We light the candle of joy because even in a season of reflection, the church bursts out with rejoicing. But let's be honest, not everybody finds the Christmas season joyful. Some people are missing loved ones. Some are weighed down by bills or burdens. Some are simply just worn out. For many, the songs of joy feel out of tune with the reality of life. And that's why Mary's song matters so deeply. She sings not after the baby is born, not after her problems are solved, but right in the middle of uncertainty. When she said yes to God, she also said yes to gossip, judgment, fear, and misunderstanding. Yet out of that chaos comes a song that begins, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Mary teaches us that joy isn't about circumstances. It's about confidence. Confidence that God will keep his promises. Confidence that he sees, he knows, he hasn't forgotten about you. He is faithful. Joy springs from remembering God's faithfulness. That's the first thing we want to point out this morning. Mary's song starts by looking back. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Joy begins with remembrance. When we rehearse God's goodness, we rediscover our gladness. Think of joy like a well. When life feels dry, you draw from memories of God's blessings. My wife, Deanna, loves to look at old pictures and stuff. Her whole family does that, which is really odd to me because my family never did any of that. I think the technical word is dysfunction. Anyway, we came from a weird family. Can you tell? Anyway, they like looking back and celebrating life in general. I wasn't raised that way. I actually find it a little uncomfortable. I don't like looking back. It rather creeps me out. People like to journal, you know, write down their thoughts every day, and they say it's supposed to be good for you. It weirds me out. I can't take it. I tried it for a couple of days, and I went back and read the first time. I don't want to think those thoughts anymore. Anyway, but I do like looking back on God's promises and the answers to prayers that he's done in my life. It's very encouraging to me. When I'm struggling, I usually recite, as we often see in the Bible, I start remembering and reciting back to God amazing answers to prayer that he's done in my life and remind myself that the God who did that before will do it again. It's a healthy thing to do that, to remember every answered prayer, every moment of grace, every deliverance. Those are wells to drink from when joy seems to run low. Mary remembers how God lifted Israel before, and she declares, he has helped his servant. She's saying, if he's been faithful before, he'll be faithful again. When joy seems and feels distant, stop and recall God's past faithfulness. Remember what he's done for you. Joy doesn't necessarily come from what's new. It often comes from remembering what's already true. Now, let me encourage you, especially if you're young in your faith, pray. Trust God to answer prayers, especially if you're a young person. See what happens. Even the smallest answers to prayer are stunning, and it really encourages, and it builds your faith, kind of like lifting weights, you know, which you can tell I don't do, but, you know, it helps make you stronger. Experiencing God in the small ways will help you to be able to trust God in the very, very difficult ways. I must say, the people I run into that I feel the sorriest for are people who all their lives they have never had to trust God for anything. And then they run into something harsh, and it always comes, right? Just the matter's not if, but when. And they fold like a deck of cards. They've never had to trust God before. Trust God in the small things. So you, when the big things come, you're able to stand. Mary remembers how God lifted Israel before. She declares, he has helped his servant. He's been faithful before. He'll be faithful again. Secondly, joy is rooted in humility, not pride. Mary says, he has looked with favor on the humble estate of his servant. Joy and pride cannot coexist. Pride says, I deserve better. Humility says, I don't deserve anything. And yet God has been good to me. The proud are never truly joyful because they're too busy protecting their own image. But the humble can rejoice because they're free to admit everything I have is a gift from God. C.S. Lewis once wrote that joy is the serious business of heaven. He also said humility isn't thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Let me repeat that. It's rather profound. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking less about yourself. The proud are never too joyful, always protecting what they have. Attitude grows from humble soil. If you want more joy, start with less comparison. Don't be comparing yourself to other people. First of all, you don't really know what other people are going through. But people often feel bad, something, you know, they compare their lives to everyone. Well, everybody's life is so great. You don't know what someone else's life. Well, it seems so happy. It doesn't necessarily mean that everything's great in their life. It's just they're experiencing the joy of God in their lives. And if you really struggle with that, for the love of heaven, quit looking at social media. It creates this fantasy that everybody else's life is perfect and joyful. What they're showing you is the high points of their lives, no matter how miserable that life may be. You know, I know some people. You read their posts, and I know these people. Their lives suck, for heaven's sakes. But you read their social media, you go, wow, that's amazing. Because they put out something that's just, you know, you're just getting the highlights of your life. I was thinking back on some of our most social media posts. Our lives, we do have great lives. It's really blessed. But if that's all you see of us, you think, you know, wow, everything we touch turns to gold. That is not true. It's and social media is just a weird thing. People get so weird. I used to really be, I hardly ever look at it anymore. I just can't take it. I have visions of strangling people, you know, which is not a good thing, but oh my goodness gracious. And then people get critical. You know, sometimes people will see our post, you know, because I get asked to travel all over the world. I'm as surprised as you. Anyway, and they send these big corporations and stuff pay to bring us in, and they'll fly us like first class, and I will show pictures, right? Here we are, and people can recognize us first class, and I'll see some of the comments. I think it's terrible that you take money from the church to fly fancy. First of all, it ain't money from the church. It's money from these companies, and I'll charge them as much as they're willing to pay. Praise the Lord. Especially these long trips. Will you come only if you fly us first class? I ain't getting on a plane for 20 hours to come see you for a $1,000 ticket. Cough it up, Jack. And they do. It's a free country. They can do whatever they want. I enjoy it. I just went to, where did we go? You didn't come with me. You're too expensive. Guam. I went to Guam. First class. It was wonderful. 20-hour flight. U.S. Army. Yes, sir. They wanted me to come. You got to fly me, baby. I ain't going cheap. Anyway, as long as they say yeah, I go. If they don't say yeah, I don't go. Anyway, it ain't the church's money is the point. It is other people's money. I enjoy spending that. Mary didn't compare her calling to anyone else's. She just said, let it be done to me according to your word. Number three, joy endures through trust. In Philippians, we read where Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he repeats it. I say again, rejoice. And remember, Paul wrote that from prison. His life was not good. It was hard. He didn't say rejoice when life is fair. He said, just always rejoice. And joy is not pretending everything's fine. It's enjoying the reality that God is in control. Even behind bars, Paul could sing because his joy wasn't chained to his situation. It was anchored in his Savior. Joy that lasts is joy that trusts. When fear whispers, what if? Faith replies, even if. This is huge. If I can get this one bit of info into your hearts today, it's this. Fear says, what if? And it's amazing how many people live in fear. I hear it. I love you. I'm not against you. But good Lord, isn't it exhausting? Always worrying. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if this happens? It's like, good Lord, I don't even think that hard about anything. What if? What? You know, what? Anything could happen. You could be driving your car and a plane could land on you. That just happened in Florida. Did you see this on the news? You're cruising along your little Toyota, and a plane lands on your roof. Nobody was expecting that today. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. Amazing. Anyway, grace of God. But you don't know what. What if? What if? What if? I don't know. Anything can happen. Why imagine picturing horrible things happening to you? As if life isn't hard enough, you fantasize how it can be worse. Isn't that exhausting? Some people, I'm so tired. Yeah, if I were you, I'd be tired too. Stop imagining the worst. Don't think what if. Think even if. Even if that happens, God will see me through it. Even if an airplane falls on my truck today, I'll be okay. God, and what's the worst thing that can happen to you? You die and you go to heaven. How horrible is that? We always win, no matter what the circumstances. God is on our side. Quit saying what if, start saying even if. It's a statement of faith. Even if the healing hasn't come, even if the answer is delayed, I will rejoice because my hope is secure. Joy grows, number four, when it is shared. After receiving the angel's message, Mary doesn't just keep the miracle to herself. She hurries off to Elizabeth. And when she walks through the door, Elizabeth says the baby in her womb just leapt for joy. Joy is contagious. It multiplies when shared. Joy is like laughter. It's contagious. You know, we all watch too much television. I certainly do. They got different comedies that most of them have laugh tracks in them. They're either done in front of a live audience or they dub it in later. Why? Because then you laugh. And then I watch these shows. They're funny shows, but there's no laugh track. And it's hard to sit and laugh by yourself. It just doesn't seem that funny. It's just very odd. Laughter is contagious. You know, I do a very comedic presentation as I travel around the country. And my worst scenario is a big room with even hundreds of people because it's so big and it's not contagious. I love it when I find out there's 150 people coming and the room only seats 100. Yes! Now we're talking, because you pack them in and they just go nuts. They laugh hysterically because it's contagious. You know, we try and move them all together in the big things, but nobody wants to move. Like churches, the top rows are the most expensive rows to be in. You don't have to sit in the front. You know, it's weird when you're performing in theaters and you're charging money, seats in the front go first. When you're in church, last ones to go are up here. We always try to get people to sit up here. I say, come sit by my wife. That's where all the sinners sit. And she's the only sinner this morning, so anyway. What it is. Laughter is contagious. The closer people are together, the easier it is to get them to laugh. So don't hoard your joy. Share it. Tell someone what God has done in your life. Send encouragement. Speak life. There's so much death in the world today. I can't take the news anymore. It's like they look for the worst possible things that are going on in the world because that's news. Really? That's depressing, I think. There isn't any good going on. Come on. Anyway, it is what it is. The more joy you give away, the more it will return to you. Number five, joy defies circumstances. We read this a couple of weeks ago in Habakkuk, the Old Testament, where he says, though the fig tree does not blossom and there are no grapes on the vines, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. An amazing verse of scripture, because we would think he'd be saying, because the fig tree's doing great, and because we have grapes everywhere, let's celebrate, all right? But no, he says, even there, if there's nothing, yet he will rejoice in being in God his Savior. Joy that defies circumstances is the most powerful witness you have. Anybody can rejoice when things are great, you know. You win Publishers Clearing. I remember the TV commercials. They'd win, you're a winner, on phone, and the people go nuts. Ah, they're jumping up and down, you know. And people are funny, you know. They'll jump and scream about anything except when you come to church. You know, we're all from Wisconsin, but most people in Wisconsin come from very conservative religious expressions, you know. You go to church, it's like, who died, right? But put those very same people, I'm not very smart, put them in Lambeau Field, it's a transformation! Woo! Now they're excited, now they're jumping up and down. No, don't start the wave or anything, but I was just pointing out, you know, you can be happy in church. Anybody can rejoice when everything's good, when the sun shines. But when you praise God in the storm, that's when people notice. That kind of joy points directly to Jesus. And by the way, the greatest shock of energy into your heart you can do is to celebrate when everything is horrible. Seriously, to praise God. You come here and you sing. And you know, we get so many new people coming to church. And I love it. We love all the new people that are coming. And there's so many more that are being added to the church. But I will hear them describe the church. It says, yeah, I really like the fact that you guys start out with a concert. No, it's not a concert. You're supposed to be singing. That's the point. Of course, a lot of people believe in miracles, I can tell, because you try to sing with your mouths closed. But that's not what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be singing and worshiping and thanking God. Well, I don't feel like it. That's all the more reason to do it. When you celebrate and praise God in the midst of misery and things, that's when the power of God comes into your life and miracles start showing up and changing things. Anybody, even atheists, can celebrate when things are good. Real faith goes when you still celebrate even in the midst of troubles. God is good to us. Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy isn't just a feeling, it's a force that keeps you steady when life tries to shake you. It's what enables you to forgive, to persevere, to keep serving when it would be easier just to quit. But you can't manufacture joy. You can, however, make room for it. Spend time in worship, reading the scriptures, being grateful. Joy is the natural result of being close to Jesus. So in conclusion, today we light the third candle of Advent. Why? Because it stands for the joyful interruption in the middle of waiting. At this point in the Christmas story, nothing's happened. Nothing's happened. And they've been waiting. It's been 400 years since God has spoken through a prophet or anything in Israel. For 400 years they've been waiting. And in the midst of this waiting comes this expression of joy. That's what we do when we are lighting the last candle of Advent. It stands for joyful interruption in the middle of waiting. It reminds us that even before the promise is fulfilled, God is already worthy of praise. But joy doesn't mean ignoring pain. We get it. It means trusting that God's story will end in victory. And again, what's the worst thing that can happen to you? You know, you could get sick and die. And some of you, you've gotten those kind of, you know, words from doctors. My wife, my first wife did. You know, they told her she just had a few years left. And, yeah, but we're just used to it. We always thank God, even things were bad. I remember the doctor telling us she was going to die, and we're sitting there smiling at him. He says, I don't think you're taking this seriously. He's chewing us out. We're still being happy. When every bit of medical evidence anywhere shows that the people who are the happiest heal the fastest and recover and have better outcomes, right? But if you're not depressed when the doctor thinks you should be depressed, they'll yell at you. I said, no, we get it, dead. Well, how can you smile on that? Because God's bigger than all that. By the way, they don't know when you're going to die. They told us that 20 years later before it finally got her. God is faithful. God is good. All things go to his glory. So as we light the candle of joy this week, let's remember, joy is not found in things, but in the one who comes. Joy is not waiting for perfection. It sings in the middle of just waiting. And joy cannot be stolen because it's secured in Christ. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says. And he repeats himself, I'll say it again, rejoice. And may the God of joy fill us with peace in believing so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may all overflow with the hope that comes from joy. Amen. We're going to celebrate our time of communion tonight. The ushers are going to get ready to serve us. This is when we turn our attention to why we're here. We're here because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. His body was broken so we could be whole. His blood was shed so we could have the experience of forgiveness of all of our sins. When you put your hope in Jesus, that's what happens. That's what we celebrate when we focus on the body and the blood of Jesus Christ sacrificed for us. But the Bible says before we do this, we should pause and examine ourselves. So with those words in mind, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, before we take of the bread and the cup this morning, and in obedience to the scriptures, we pause now to examine ourselves. If we sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, something we did that we shouldn't have done, maybe something we should have done but we didn't do, if we haven't loved our neighbors as ourselves, if we've been caught up in the what ifs and not living in the even ifs, letting fear and anxiety dominate our lives, we pray that you'd have mercy on all of us. Forgive us of all our sins and strengthen us in your goodness, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. And while heads are bowed and people are reflecting, maybe you're here this morning thinking, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I've never really experienced what you're talking about. I've never really experienced this idea of all my sins being forgiven. You can do that right now. In your own words, just whisper to Jesus. Say, Jesus, please come into my life and forgive me of all of my sins. If you'll put your trust in him, that wonderful miracle can take place in your heart right now. Amen.